See, who was with Paul, perhaps in prison with Paul. His name is Epaphras. But I just want to look at the fruit of the gospel. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is a worthy topic, but this passage talks about the fruit of the gospel. And any of you here ever had a fruit tree before? Fruit tree? And we had, in Maryland, we had no fruit trees. In Utah, we had apple trees. And apparently the apple trees only make fruit every other year, at least this kind did. So the first year we were there, we didn't get any fruit, and I was all discouraged. And then the next year, we had apples. I like things that are free, that the tree produces the apple, and I get to eat it. We had a cherry tree in our front yard, and it made cherries every year. But just a secret, if you ever have a cherry tree, you need to understand something, and that is, if you do not spray, every cherry has worms in it. So if you've ever eaten cherries, you say, I'm going to eat organic cherries. Well, be very careful. Because how's the joke go? Well, yeah, what's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm? Biting and finding half a worm. Yeah, there you go. Same thing for cherries. And so anyway, but fruit is not something, I couldn't go out there and rub the tree or kick the tree or talk to the tree or anything like that. You just water the tree and here comes the fruit. Now let me tell you what I'm talking about the fruit of the gospel. Folks, the gospel is the power of God. You do not have to add to the gospel. The gospel produces all on its own. Our job is to get the gospel out, right? But the passage tonight is just something that we're the benefactor because someone gave us the gospel. Do you remember who gave you the gospel? Do you remember when they gave it to you and you believed it and how excited you were? And I still, to this day, I can remember that time when I asked the Lord to save me and I was laying in bed that night thinking about the people I could tell and how things were different. And the gospel makes a difference. So let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to read these verses. I won't be but a few minutes. And just want to show you some things about the fruit of the gospel. I'll read out loud as you follow along, beginning in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. And ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the blessing it is to be in your house with your people. God, thank you that we could sing some Christmas carols tonight and have good testimonies of what you've done in our lives. And Lord, I pray for each one here tonight. Father, sometimes we get so distracted by the things of this world, the cares of this world, or perhaps just the cares that we have. We get so distracted, we forget to look up and to remember the spiritual blessings that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternity waiting for us, the promise that you have given us to answer prayer, and Lord, just the things that you do in our life from day to day as you commune with us and as you lead us. And Lord, thank you for the fruit of the gospel that's evident in our lives. Thank you for this church. God, I thank you for the blessings you've been to it throughout this year, and especially at Christmas time. And I pray now you'd bless the preaching of the Word of God tonight. Help this to be something that each one here can take away and just remember as an encouragement to them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm just going to ask you the question. Don't answer out loud, but think with me for a minute. What differences has the gospel made in your life? If I was to ask you, you remember when you were in school and the teacher said, we're going to write an essay today? And she's going to give you a topic, and then you're going to write on that topic. And the topic is, what differences has the gospel made in your life? And you'd go back to that time when you received Christ, and you'd consider perhaps the way things were before and after. I know that there are some things that happen in our lives as a result of the gospel that may involve persecution, that may involve affliction. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there certainly are some things that the gospel has done in our lives that might cause us some difficulty. But in that difficulty, the Lord goes with us. Amen? But what he's talking about here in the beginning of Colossians is the benefit, the things about the gospel that are good things. And he starts with himself. And you probably don't really think about this, but in verse 1, he mentions the fact that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, watch what happens in this passage. Just look at this. In verse 1, he talks about Jesus Christ. In verse 2, he talks about Christ, and then he mentions the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 3, he mentions our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 4, he says, faith in Christ Jesus. And then he comes down in verse 7, and he talks about being a minister of Christ. That's not a coincidence that he begins this book and this chapter by emphasizing the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, he's everything. Without him, there would be no gospel. Without him, there would be no salvation. Without him, there would be no hope of heaven. You know, we ask people at their doors, what do you hope for to get you to heaven? And most people say, I think I'm good enough. I hope I'm good enough. That's not a very good hope, is it? And I'd sure hate to have to live my entire life and then step into the presence of God and find out I'm not good enough. Now what are you going to do? It's too late. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So I can accept the fact, and you can too, we're not good enough. Amen? But I'll tell you this, the Lord Jesus Christ is good enough. In fact, he is good enough that he could take the sins of every person who ever lived upon himself on that cross. Someone says, well, he only died for some people. No, the Bible says he died for all those that were dead. And the reason you're dead was because of sin. Anybody who sinned died. Anybody who died, Christ died for them. He died for the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. But let's make it personal. God died for you. God died for me. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us. He is the center of the gospel. The one time in the Bible, and you really probably ought to memorize these verses, in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, I declare unto you the gospel. There's no place else in the Bible that comes close to being that specific. How that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And I remember when it finally dawned on me what the resurrection was all about. The only way he could rise is if the sins were taken care of. Because where there is sin, there is death. Where the sin is no more, then there is life. So how can he give you and I eternal life? Because the sin is no more. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, I don't understand. Sometimes I sin. Sometimes I do too, but my sins are covered in the blood of Christ. So then why do I have to confess my sins to him? Why does he say in 1 John 1, 9, I need to come to him and confess my sins? Because I want to be right with him. I do not have any sins that are going to send me to hell, but I can have sins that keep me from having good fellowship with Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the central figure, the most important thing that you need to know about the gospel. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask the question, what difference has he made in your life? For Paul, you look in verse 1, he became an apostle of Jesus Christ because of the gospel. In verse 1, Timotheus, we talked about him a little bit last week, his life was changed by the gospel. And then down here in verse 7, Epaphras, his life was changed by the gospel. It made him a faithful minister. He was from Colossae. He was in Rome when Paul wrote this letter, either as a prisoner or perhaps just as a companion. But either way, here's three men that the gospel has changed. Folks, the gospel has changed my life. The gospel has changed. Brother Hickson, did it change your life? Amen. Levi, the gospel changed your life? Brother McMahon, the gospel changed your life? Amen. The gospel changes us. Amen. Don't want to leave anybody out. Brother Dahlman. Amen. In fact, Brother Dahlman teaches in a Christian school because of the value of the gospel. So we already, as we sit here tonight, now look out, and I'm excited to see little children and older folks and everybody in the middle. The gospel has changed us. There's fruit right there. Now let's look at some of the specifics here, and I haven't got much time, but the gospel is productive, and he talks about some things the gospel has done. He says in verse 4, he says, "We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus." Excuse me. Now, you know how you hear about something? If it's notable, if it's observable, if it's significant enough that the word gets out. And of course, Paul lived in a day when there was no internet, there was no New York Times, there was no television or radio. News all traveled by word of mouth. But Paul had heard of the difference that the gospel had made in their lives. I'd like to think in our day, when there's so much information moving around so fast, that some people could say, "We've heard of the difference that the gospel made in Vision Baptist Church." Amen? How can they do that? Well, if we keep quiet, they're not going to get to do that. If we forget to be faithful to God, or if we don't practice what the Word of God says, they're not going to be able to do that. But folks, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him, the power is in the gospel, and it's going to make a difference in people's lives. And it's just like way back when I got here, back in the summer of 2016, and I preached that message out of Kings about digging trenches. Folks, we got to get the gospel out. We need to be telling folks, especially this time of year. You know what? Oh, it just dawned on me. We've got some Christmas tracts back there. Levi, can I assign you something? Could you scrounge around in the little cubby there just out behind the sound booth on the other side and find those Christmas tracts? Stephanie can do that for you. And get those so we can hand those out tonight. It'd be a good thing to do if you haven't sent out Christmas cards yet, or if you meet people, give them some Christmas tracts. Now look, he says that the gospel was productive, that they had faith in Christ, verse 4. And then in verse 4 he says, "And your love which ye have to all the saints," and he mentions that again in verse 8, "he declared unto us your love in the Spirit." I think you understand this if you stop and think about it a minute. I don't know how to express it exactly, but when you're saved, you love saved people. Amen? I just love saved people. If I met somebody, maybe I, for example, was traveling and I came across somebody who was saved, we have an instant bond of affection right there. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's one of the reasons that as a church, we should magnify, we should demonstrate, we should have a tremendous demonstration of the love of Christ between us. We ought to love each other. That's part of the fruit of the gospel. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into your heart, he changed you, and he'll cause you to have an affection towards other folks that are saved. You may not have anything in common with them as far as this world is concerned, but as far as eternity is concerned, you got a lot in common with them. Amen? The love he talks about. He talks about hope for the future in verse 5. He says, "The hope which is laid up for you in heaven." You and I have, for so long, we have known, we know without even thinking about it, when I die, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord when the resurrection of the dead occurs and when we are raptured, if we're raptured. And I don't even question that. I know for sure where I'm going to spend eternity. Wouldn't you hate to have to live day by day wondering if you're going to spend eternity in hell? Most folks don't think about that. It's too terrifying of a thought. They train their mind to ignore that. That's one of the reasons when we talk to them going door to door, they don't like to hear from us, because we remind them there is a hell. There is a punishment for sin. There are wages of sin, which is called death. Aren't you glad that's all behind you? I don't jest when I say it. I hope the Lord comes back tonight. Say, "Pastor, what, we wouldn't get to open Christmas presents." That's okay. I think the Lord has something better for us. Amen. Say, "Pastor, I'm looking forward to Christmas dinner. I think there'll be some good food in heaven as well." You know, there's a hope that we have that's a product of the gospel. Now, just a couple more things and I'm out of time. Number six, look at verse six, please. He says, the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you, as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it. Now, that's what I want to focus on right there. In other words, you got saved, and right there was a change, wasn't there? Things changed. Things are different now, the Bible says. Something happened to her, the song says. Something happened to me. When we got saved, we got changed. But folks, the change continues, doesn't it? You ever start something and you were real excited about it, and 6 months later you weren't doing it at all? You know, we could call a diet, for example, workout program. I bought a treadmill one time, and I mentioned to one of the men in the church in Maryland, we bought a treadmill. He says, how many people do you think have treadmills that are sitting in the corner never getting used? And we wore that thing out. But a lot of the time, you know, that exercise equipment they had on TV that you thought was going to work, and now it's in a box in a closet, and you're not quite sure which one. That's not the way the gospel is it? If your salvation, did you find them, Steph? If your salvation is not producing change and continuing to do things in your life, there's something wrong. And you say, well, Pastor, I got away from the Lord. He'll find you. I almost hesitate to ask this question, but I will. Anybody here, and my hand will go up, you got away from God and God brought you back. Anybody like that? Yeah. You know what happened? The Lord doesn't give up on you. The Lord paid too high of a price for you to discard you. It keeps on making a change. And then I'll finish real quick where I started, which is the gospel is productive. The gospel keeps on producing. And then finally, the gospel is in a person. And I've shown you the verses already, but look at verse 7. He says, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. And what they learned of Epaphras was the grace of God in truth. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in John 14, I am the way, I am the truth. Any gospel that does not give total credit to Jesus Christ is a false gospel. The devil is a deceiver. He is subtle. He's the father of lies. And he's got his gospels, but they don't center on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got his ways he shows people, and he'll tell them things, and they'll believe it. But folks, if Christ is not in the center, it's not the right gospel. Aren't you glad you found Christ? Amen? And that's why when you found him and you received him, he came into your heart, and he'll never, ever leave. And the gospel produces fruit because of that. Amen? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening again for the reminder that we see.